Sound the Alarm is the title of my message. Now, there are many different types of alarms that we can recognize when we hear it and what it is associated with. For example, we can typically associate a certain sound with a certain alarm, and I'm going to need your participation, of course, those of you in front of me, so this is not going to be boring whatsoever. Everyone can participate, but I'm going to play some alarm sounds that should sound pretty famous, that you would know. For example, this one. Anybody know that dreadful sound? Alarm clocks. I think most people will have that sound in the morning. I definitely did. When I was waking up, and that's something you definitely want to shut off, but then you'll be awake, so that works. And what about this one? Where would you hear that sound? Nope. The wristwatch, yes, it's not very popular anymore these days. There's only a few people I know that would have that. How about this one? No, not quite. Could be that too. Yep, house. Burglar alarm is mostly what it is associated with. Hopefully that's something we don't hear a lot. Now this one. That's the car alarm that we typically hear out here every Saturday. You've got this one. Now it starts getting a little bit trickier. And that typically happens while you're watching your favorite show, right, on TV, or in the middle, or when you're listening to your favorite song on the radio, and then that comes up, and you usually just say this is just a test, but then you wonder when it really happens, if you really know it's for real. This one here. Kids in school may hear that one a lot. The fire alarm, correct. And then we have, then it starts getting a little maybe advanced or not so common. I wasn't really sure what this one was. I just remember it being in Jurassic Park movies. I think they had that alarm going off when the dinosaurs got loose. That's probably why I don't really recognize it. Then we have this one. Maybe this is for you tech geeks out there. There you go, Star Trek. Neither was someone who would know that. And then we have this one. Also a sound you probably don't want to hear a lot of. Oh, the smoke alarm. Who else has deactivated that? You shouldn't be doing that, but that does get very loud. Then we start getting into a sound which is more on the chilly side, I guess you could say, or... So yes, you probably heard in the times of war for anybody that has experienced that, or it could actually use that same sound for a tsunami or something terrible that is going to happen. Now, another sound which now relates to what I'm going to be speaking about is one we in our lifetime haven't really heard. The shofar, right? We probably heard it in the movies in Ten Commandments or something like that. But anyway, even though there are different sounds, they all have something in common for the alarm to sound, since someone would have to activate it in some way. It doesn't come from nothing. We ourselves have to activate it somehow for an alarm to go off. Let's say in the morning, we set the alarm when we want to wake up or on our watch or installing it or whatever it may be. All of these types of alarms have been created by man. But there will be an alarm the whole world is going to hear that has never been heard before. And the difference here is that it won't be controlled by any man on earth. For this is an alarm from God through seven angels a warning none like other in the future through the blowing of the trumpets. A time this world has never experienced before, a time so terrible as we read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, which we actually just sung about in the opening hymns, the last one. And the only way this world can be saved is through the return of Jesus Christ. So today we are observing the Feast of Trumpets. And many do claim that Christ will return on this day in the future. But is that true? I already apologize in advance to Mr. Link because I know he's going to be going into this. However, I didn't know this as I was preparing this, so I don't want to go say too many things about it. But you know what? There's not a problem with that because repetition is always good. It helps us remember better anyway. But what did Christ say several times, for example, in Matthew 24, verse 44, Mark 13, verses 32 and 33, and also in Acts 1, verses 6 and 7, pointing out that nobody knows the day of his return, including himself. Christ doesn't even know when he's going to return. Only God the Father knows this, and he decides when it is time for his return. But we will all have a warning as it gets closer and closer to that time, as we are also told that we need to watch and we need to be ready at all times. There is no time where we shouldn't be doing that, as Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22 says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor shall ever be. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." In our Q&A, is it true that Christ will return on the annual holy day of the Feast of Trumpets? We say this. It's hard not to go into this, especially on this day. I know. I know Mr. Link has much to say about this, but I'll keep it brief. But it is true that the Feast of Trumpets represents Christ's return and the resurrection of the saints, which will occur when the seventh trumpet sounds. The Feast of Trumpets represents much more than that, though, because on that day, not just one trumpet was blown, but the Levites blew several trumpets. And in the book of Revelation, we read that seven seals will be opened. And the seventh seal consists of seven trumpets, which will be blown by seven angels. But these seven trumpets, which are all pictured by the Feast of Trumpets, will not be blown in just one day, but for a longer time. Also, even when the seventh or last trumpet sounds, the events will occur at a time that will take longer than just 24 hours, because all these events are described to occur during the blowing of the seven trumpets, and even the seventh trumpet cannot possibly just occur in a 24-hour time span allotted to the Feast of Trumpets. Now, this seventh seal consists of seven trumpets, which are blown by seven angels in Revelation 8, verses 2 and in 6. The first four trumpets are described in Revelation 8, 7 through 12. And when the first angel blows the trumpet, it describes what appears to be a firestorm destroying one-third of all trees and the grass. Now, mind you, this is the first trumpet. That very first time the world hears a trumpet being blown. They may not be quite sure what this means yet. But after these events start to take place, it starts to become obvious. Pretty much a warning as something else is going to come. So that the second trumpet depicts what appears to be a huge burning meteorite falling into the sea, which destroys one-third of sea creatures and one-third of the ocean ships. The third trumpet that will be blown describes what appears to be another huge fiery comet or asteroid destroying or poisoning one-third of the sweet drinking water. And then the fourth trumpet brings further cosmic disturbances, blocking one-third of the light of the sun, moon, and stars. Now, we've got four trumpets already been blown. The world is already being destroyed. A lot of horrible things are going to be happening, and people are being warned each time that something is coming. Revelation 8:13 speaks of the last three remaining trumpets as the last three woes because of their great and extreme severity, as if didn't already go through extreme severity. Like I said, things will get worse and worse. Everything that we have gone through right now, the destruction that we're faced with right now in the world, it doesn't even compare. And these first four trumpets were pretty serious, but now it gets even more serious. Because the fifth trumpet is the first woe, and it's the first of the last three, and it describes, or it's described in Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12, identifying the final resurrection of the Roman Empire coming out of the bottomless pit, which is an end-time European power bloc referred to as the Beast elsewhere, depicted to be at war with other nations. Its instruments of war and are symbolically portrayed as locusts or helicopters causing pain or harm on humans for 5 months without killing them. The real ruler of this power block is the angel of the bottomless pit, Satan the devil. And the war occurs after the Great Tribulation, after the time of war between Europe and the modern nations of the house of Israel and Judah. And by that time, the modern nations of the house of Israel and Judah will already be destroyed, and their surviving people will become captives of this European power. And the war depicted in Revelation 9 is alluded to more fully in Daniel 11. Now, the sixth trumpet describes a second woe, the appearance of an invading army of 200 million soldiers shortly after Europe's invasion of the Middle East to kill a third of mankind. So yes, there's still going to be many people still alive at that time, even going through everything they went through already with the first four or five trumpets. Apparently, the second stage of a total world war between, at that time, mainly European power bloc and a power bloc of Eastern nations, and this second stage is also alluded to Daniel 11. A lot of stuff that's said in the Old Testament is also explained in the New. The seventh trumpet is not described until Revelation 16. The previous chapters are interludes or flashbacks setting the stage for the climax of the last or seventh trumpet as identified in Revelation 16. And the seventh trumpet of the seventh seal consists of seven last plagues. It doesn't end. It just keeps going, which are described in Revelation 16, 1 through 21. Seven angels pour out these seven last plagues, also referred to as the seven bowls of the wrath of God. The first one causes a foul and loathsome sore on those who worship the beast and its image and who have accepted the mark of the beast. The second plague, or bowls, causes every living creature in the sea to die. The third one causes a sweet water supply to become blood, obviously being undrinkable. The fourth plague brings about increased solar radiation, which horribly scorches mankind. And despite this punishment from God for their sins, man still is not going to repent. They're going to be angry. They're going to be blaming God for these things to happen. Such things that we read about here are the things we see in the movies, or people consider, oh, it's Hollywood. That's not really going to happen. Well, something they probably don't know. The fifth plague causes total darkness to cover the headquarters of the beast. Again, people will blaspheme God. They will refuse to repent even then. Then we have the sixth plague. We'll dry up the waters of the great river, Euphrates, to enable the kings from the east to advance to the place of Armageddon, which you all read about in Revelation 16, where they will prepare themselves. They will gather there for the battle of the great day of the God Almighty. These kings from the east, as well as the other kings of the earth, will be influenced by Satan. They will be demonically possessed. Or the demonically possessed beast and the false prophet will be there, and all of them will gather at Armageddon, north of Jerusalem. And then they'll make their way to Megiddo, a huge mound with the commanding view of the long and fertile valley of Jezreel, an ideal place for armies gathering there. They will then head their way to Jerusalem to fight the returning Christ, because when Christ returns, people are not going to know that's Christ returning. They're going to think he's some alien, or they're going to think, or something like that. But we don't read where this, that there will be a battle at Armageddon, as many claim, but this battle is going to be fought south of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is called today the Kidron Valley, which borders Jerusalem on the east. The seventh and last plague causes tremendous earthquake to shake the earth, an earthquake that the world has never experienced, not like we have today in remote places. But this causes the great city of Jerusalem to be divided into three parts and all the cities of the nations to fall. And this earthquake will be so powerful that every night island will disappear, every mountain will be leveled, a great hail and tremendous size destroys everything in its path. Again, even then, men will not repent, but they're going to blaspheme God because of this destruction. Yes, there is a lot of frightening things that will occur in the new future. And we should not take this lightly. We may think about, that's far in advance. That's something we don't need to worry about now. Well, I'll tell you, when the world hears these sounds of these trumpets, again, not coming from man, but blown by angels, that will be a chilling sound. That will be for the whole world. So why would anyone want to go through this, putting our life into chance when we have a chance right now to be spared from all of this? God's true saints, converted Christians, those who have been faithful all along, who have not quit, and who have been preparing for this moment, we will be protected during this time at a place of safety that God has prepared. So how are we preparing right now? We are observing this day, for example, as God instructs us to, which reminds us of his plan for us and for all of mankind in the future. And since this is a high holy day, we are also commanded to not come before God empty-handed, as we read about in Deuteronomy 16. As this offering we present to him is also a thank you to God. Thank you for calling us out of this world to understand his truth, and that we faithfully commit our lives to him, and that we really can put our lives into his hands. Everything that we have right now is his anyway. Yes, it's all physical. Yes, it's a temporary thing that we have. But it is no excuse to give up, foolishly thinking that we can just delay his coming or delay our calling, let's say, or the knowledge to his truth. And then let's just be obedient later on when we have our second chance. But forgetting, though, that we are going to be perhaps just going through these terrible times that will take place in the very soon near future. This alarm of trumpets, which will take place in the future, is something I cannot play for you right now. It's not from man. Will it sound exactly like a trumpet we know today? I don't know. But it is a sound that the world has not heard yet. But we, the church, should have comfort knowing what is in store for us, that we shouldn't worry, for we have God to protect us. Just continue doing what God expects us to, and we will see how he takes care of us and how he blesses us.